the Olone landscape. The Native Americans who occupied San Pedro Valley were members of a group that early Spanish explorers named the Costeños, or Coast People. According to Margolin, the name preferred by the surviving members of these people is Olone, and this term will be used here. The Olone occupied a large part of the southern San Francisco Bay Area and Monterey Bay Area on lands bounded by the Golden Gate and Carquinez Strait to the north, Mount Diablo and Mount Hamilton to the east, and Big Sur to the south. The Olone arrived some 4,500 years before the Spanish claimed parts of California for themselves. They were not one large tribe as such, but 40 individual tribales or groups each with their own chief, connected by similar customs and a language that evolved from the same root. As the Olone settled into the various valleys and coastal regions around the Bay Area, differences in language slowly evolved. 8 to 12 different languages were spoken with no more than 1,000 or so speakers per language. The diversity in language may be the result of the Olone having been a highly settled people with few outside contacts. Although they were hunter-gatherers and traveled between meadows, coast, and hillsides for food, the land was abundant, and groups were able to meet most of their dietary needs within small territories, which usually did not exceed 100 square miles. Groups were self-sufficient and stayed within their own territories, except for the occasional trading foray. The Olone of San Mateo County may have numbered 1,500 when the Spanish arrived in the late 18th century, but the coastside population was only a small portion of this. Possibly 275 to 350 people lived along the coast between Montara Mountain and the Half Moon Bay area. The Spanish encountered few Olone north of Montara Mountain, but they did report at least one village within San Pedro Valley. Olone villages were located near good water supplies and consisted of a cluster of dome-shaped huts built of frames from willow branches covered with tule mats. Each village had its own refuse pile or shell mound, which grew to considerable size over centuries of settlement. Olone groups moved about their small territories during the year, going where seasonal foodstuffs were most abundant. Frequent travels over the same footpaths led to incision of some paths to over a foot in depth. Being a semi-nomadic people, the Olone did not occupy their villages year-round and had little need of permanent structures, as indicated by their choice of building material. The Olone diet consisted of meat from deer, elk, and other terrestrial mammals, marine organisms from tidal pools, whale meat from beached whales, salmon and steelhead from the streams, insects such as grasshoppers, and roots, berries, acorns, and grass seeds, Margolin, 1978. For tribes who lived along the bay and farther east, acorns were a crucial part of the diet. Along the coast, where the cool, foggy climate limited the growth of oak trees, grass seeds played a larger dietary role. The Olone reliance on grass seed had a profound impact on the coastal landscape. Every few years, fire was set to the meadows, and the Spanish expeditions of Portola of 1769 and of Rivera in 1774 reported frequent grass fires. Fire was used to prevent the growth of coastal scrub and to maintain and rejuvenate the grasslands, increasing grass seed production. Fire also maintained the rangeland for deer and elk and stimulated germination of the digger or gray pine, a source of pine nuts. Frequent fire would have created a valley and hillside landscape of tall grasses with little of the coastal scrub and trees present today. A variety of wildlife inhabited the area in and around San Pedro Valley. Elk, hunted to extinction on the coast by the late 19th century, were once the most abundant game animal in California. Elk prefer moist habitats in open country, occupying the margins of marsh grassland communities and the lower elevations of contiguous grassland ranges. They were found throughout the California coast north of the Salinas Valley. Grizzly bear, also now extinct in California, were found in abundance on the coastside. Though aggressively killed by Spanish and American settlers, there was at least one grizzly still in the San Pedro Valley, as late as 1859, and grizzlies persisted in the mountains of San Mateo County until 1880, when they were finally hunted to extinction. Mountain lion also called the valley area home, and reports of lion sightings are still common. Deer, coyote, wolves, bobcat, otter, bald eagles, ducks, geese, quail, and many types of birds were some of the other species that lived in the San Pedro Valley area. The Olone left no written accounts or paintings of their landscape. Images of the Olone landscape can, in part, however, be inferred from early Spanish accounts of the coastside. Spanish explorers came to the San Francisco Bay Area in the later part of the 18th century, trying to find a land route to Monterey Bay. Padres traveled with the exploring parties and kept journals of their travels, and some of the explorers had an official diary recorder. When the first Spanish explorers came to San Pedro Valley, they found mostly grass-covered hillsides with willow and alder trees comprising the major riparian vegetation along the creeks, and for the most part the only trees to be found. Father Juan Crespi, who accompanied Gaspar de Portola's 1769 expedition as the expedition's padre, noted few trees in and around the valley. He wrote in his diary, "There are no trees here other than a few low willows on the stream beds, a very small matter. There are no trees to be seen upon any of the ranges of knolls that are in view from the height, other than a few trees upon the summit of a mountain range encircling this harbor." Crespi also observed that the grasses were not as lush here as in areas farther south. "I have noted a change in the grasses, which are not so lush as previously, beginning at the last point which we passed. Everything, however, is very grass brown." The diary, written by Miguel Costanzo, also on Portola's 1769 expedition, described the valley as "plentiful in grass and all surrounded by very large high hills, making a deep hollow open only toward the bay on the northwest." Crespi made numerous diary entries about fire. Burning would have helped explain the lack of trees on the hillsides. About the areas to the south of the valley, Crespi wrote, "Tableland and rolling knolls, burnt off with very good soils, and level land of rolling tablelands, close to the shore, of very good soil, all the grass burnt off." As Portola's expedition left their camp and headed east up the hills on the north side of the valley, Crespi wrote, "Went up quite high knolls, all of them burnt off. Grasses would have been mostly bunched perennial species, dominated by needle grasses including wild rye, June grass, pine bluegrass, and deer grass." At the mouth of the valley, just behind and extending the length of the beach, was a shallow lake or wetland. Crespi described the lake and the creeks that fed it as follows. "Here at the little flat, which may measure some 600 or more yards out to the sea, with its width a bit more than 100 yards, run two streams having very pure, delicious waters. One of them has its course by the northwestward, along where we came down. This is most likely the small creek that runs through present-day Shamrock Ranch, while the other stream flows from the east. Each one carries a good zanja's worth of water, and the two meet here at the little flat and run together to the shore, where before entering the sea, they make a good-sized inlet of fresh water which must reach over 100 yards inland." He further wrote that the willows made a small wood close to the lake. Costanzo referred the lake as a marsh of considerable extent, covered with cane grass, and reaching near to the sea. A few years later, Father Palou, who accompanied Rivera's 1774 expedition to the San Francisco Bay Area, described the lake on the expedition's return south, "came to a large lake between high hills, which are in the plain ending in a small bay on the beach." He further wrote, "We made a detour around the lake and stopped about 1 p.m. in a canyon of the valley near an arroyo of running water, one of two in the valley from which the lake is formed. It is well covered with tule, and on its banks there are some willows and blackberry brambles." The valley floor was described by both Crespi and Costanzo as very lush, with creeks, of very fine, delicious waters, and contained very lush brambles, many rose patches, and all kinds of lush plants, very plentiful. Father Palou was quite impressed with the valley and wrote in his diary in December of 1774, "If the place had timber, it would be suitable for a mission, on account of its proximity to the mouth of the port, for it does not lack land, water, or pasture for cattle." Portola's expedition was well received by the Olon they encountered. Father Crespi wrote, "A village of very fine, well-behaved heathens was hereabouts, and they came over at once to the camp, bringing a good many black pies made of their seeds. As a great many smokes are visible, there must be many villages about this harbor. A small village was located on the main creek approximately 1 mile from the coast, and possibly a second village or cluster of dwellings was located farther downstream near the mouth of the valley. However, when Father Palou traveled through the valley, he did not mention encountering any Olon or seeing any of their villages. It is possible that the Olon had made one of their annual migrations east over the hills to gather acorns at the time when he passed through." Father Palou's journal entries are the last written descriptions about the San Pedro Valley until Mission Dolores came several years later and created a new valley landscape.